Sweetie.
Sharon Cernick shepherds her two greyhounds over to the feeding bowls in her Merrimack kitchen.
Beautiful girl. Tikva, come here.
The dogs tromp past a room that was probably meant for formal dining, but is now more like a canine retreat, with scattered pillows on a bare floor for the seven household pets.
We've got a hydrocephalic dachshund, and we've got a little twisted kitty.
Cernick's love for animals is also a vocation. She's a veterinarian with a practice dedicated to at-home euthanasia.
I always feel like it's an honor to be invited into people's homes. It's really a privilege. The pet really never knows anything's happening. I come into their home, and I bring treats, and I spend some time in there, and they get this little sedative, and they fall asleep at home with their people.
Cernick says people plan farewells all sorts of ways. They invite friends, read prayers or poems. In contrast to what vets might provide in their offices, Cernick says she offers a gentler transition for dying pets and the families caring for them.
They understand that there are things you can do at the end of life. They're willing to talk to their vet about pain control, in some cases willing to do quite a lot, wheelchairs, slings, things like that, to keep their pets with them as long as possible.
Which is less conventional, says Catherine Goldberg with the Veterinary Society for Hospice and Palliative Care.
Traditionally, we have a system of we're going to treat or we're going to euthanize. And it's a binary system, really.
Alan Wachter is a vet in Lebanon. He says people now routinely do things for their pets that would have been inconceivable when he started practicing more than 30 years ago.
Medications are changing. Some of the opioids are now available. Chiropractic, acupuncture, which wasn't traditionally used very often at all. We have feeding tubes, fluid therapy if needed. You know, there's strides all the time.
Wachter just launched a hospice practice. He said one thing that helped him make the decision is that people are more candid about their struggles with a pet's illness or death.
Now they're in heaven together.
Charles Gaudet and his kids flipped through a photo album at his home in Portsmouth. Picnics and birthday parties chronicle the family milestones. Their Bernese mountain dog, Monet, is always in the picture.
She was a good dog.
When Monet got sick a few months ago, the Gaudets sought out Katerina Brandt, a vet who specializes in hospice care.
And the dog, Monet, had been diagnosed with a disease where the muscles aren't working properly, and she couldn't open her mouth. We had to figure out a way, how can you give her medicine and help her?
The medication made Monet comfortable, but then Brandt needed to get the family ready for the next phase.
She told me to start introducing the children to the concept of death.
This is Charles Gaudet.
And to involve the children as much as possible in her care so that the kids could see her struggle and that they could experience some of Monet's frustrations, such as not being able to walk.
When the 90-pound Monet fell down, the three young children, all under age 8, helped to pick the dog up. And when the time came to put her to rest, the kids weren't in shock, and they found ways to remember her. Branson Gaudet, the 8-year-old.
I just wish that she was alive. And she was a good dog. And she was part of our family. The same day that she died, we got a little stuffed animal of her, and we put the collar on it.
Dying remains a complicated business. For NHPR News, this is Cheryl Richkern.